Welcome to the April 14th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 22, and the sermon is entitled, Warning, the False-Hearted Teacher, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I just feel like this morning I need to offer prayer not only for us here, but before we start, I want to offer a prayer on behalf of a country that has been attacked. And I think we need to pray for Israel as a church today. And so as we are moving into a time of worship and study of the Scripture, we know that Israel is that chosen nation of God. And so I just want to offer a prayer on behalf of them and in preparation as we approach the Word of God. May we pray together today. Father God, Lord, thank you for this time together. God, I pray now, Lord, that as we come before your holy Word, Lord, we understand the importance of Israel throughout your word. Lord, just last evening under attack, God, we pray, Lord, for thy will to be done, Lord. Lord, that your protection would be upon your people of Israel. And God, I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen that nation as only you can. Lord, thank you, Lord, that your provision for them and your protection over them has been seen throughout the scriptures. And Lord, we call on you again to do the same. And in doing so today, we pray for the people here in this church that are watching live stream today that belong to you, that are Christians. God, Lord, we pray as we address the matter of the heart, God, that you will remind us whose we are, Lord, and that you will allow us, Lord, through Scripture to see the importance of walking with you. May we walk with you just as Israel needs to walk with you. Lord, open their eyes and open our eyes today to Jesus Christ as Savior. And Lord, we thank you for this prayer and we make it in the strong name of our Lord. Amen. 2 Peter chapter number 2. As we open our Bibles this morning, we return to Scripture that is familiar to us. Familiar because we have been working our way specifically through chapter 2 for three sermons. This is sermon number 4 as we look at it together. And so it's a lot to entail and it's a lot to look at. But there is one subject that runs through chapter number 2. And that subject is this. It is the warning of false teaching, of false teachers that would be present then in Peter's day and are present now today in our church. We know that it is a grave concern for Peter. And it should be a concern for his church and the people of his church today. As we think about chapter number 1, chapter number 1 of 2 Peter, Peter calls them to make sure of their faith, to make certain that their faith is in Jesus. And today we understand that important reminder. But we also understand the important reminder also of the false teachers that are creeping in. Just because you buy a top-selling book, and just because you turn on your television to preaching, doesn't mean that it's true. And so that is the warning, that if we are not careful with the teaching, that we will be lulled to sleep by the enemy. And so today, as we end chapter number 2, we end it with the reminder of the importance of the Word of God and those that are teaching it. Today, I'm grateful to go back in 2 Peter. My Bible was getting a little bit lonely. We interjected for Easter and for Palm Sunday, and those are important days. But we come back to this chapter today, and we are reminded that through Peter's teaching and leading, that the Word of God, the heart of every person is important. I know that oftentimes I tell you this, but today more than ever, as we look at the false teacher, we must also look within ourselves. We must look at our own heart. And a lot can cover up things. And so that is the warning as we open our scripture today. The root of the problem is this: false teachers, their hearts do not belong to the Lord. And in their leading, they step out on their own wisdom and their own ideas, and because they are not saved, they have nothing to draw upon. And so as we look at verse number 17 together, take your Bibles now as we are looking at the warning of the false-hearted teachers. 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 17. In speaking about these false teachers, Peter writes, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever." The false-hearted teacher, point number one today is this. The false-hearted teacher, you need to see the emptiness that they offer. Peter begins chapter number 2 by saying this. False teachers will arise among you. Chapter number 2, verse number 1, it says this. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." It's not if they will come, it is when they will come, and they are already there. And then in verse number 17, he begins by saying this. They are simply wells without waters. Earlier in the chapter, he called them brute beasts, having their own way and their own will over people. We have looked at the examples of in the past that people had followed the misleading and misteaching. And now Peter says this, these false teachers are drawing from an empty well. Their words and their actions, their wickedness, their desire for pleasure, all do not claim Christ. They go against what Christ teaches. And so these false teachers look apart on the outside, but on the inside, they are empty. The first example of emptiness that Peter gives us is a well. I don't know how many of you in building a house, most of us that live out in the country, we've got to drill that well, don't we? And when you drill the well and you hear the words from the well driller, it is dry. That means two things. It means, number one, you don't have water. And number two, it's going to hurt your pocketbook, okay, anyway. An empty well is not a good thing. Now, remember, in Jesus' day, they didn't have the truck that pulled up and drilled 300 feet for you. They did it all by hand. And as they would go through, here is the picture, the dry area that we're talking about, desperately needed water. And as these people would dig and they would search for those wells, and those wells would supply the nourishment that the people need and that the crops needed, Peter says the false teacher is like a well that does not have water. It is empty of what is needed. When we think about that dry well, the comparison that is, it doesn't have, the false teacher doesn't have the truth of God to draw from. When you go to the well, when you go to your water spigot and turn on water, we are so blessed that when we flip the lever, the water comes. Amen? And you expect clean water, and you know that you're going to get the clean water. But imagine going to church, and you know you want to hear from God. You expect to hear from God. And you sit through a church service and you never hear the redeeming grace that Christ offers. If you sit through a church service that does not offer Jesus, you are sitting through an empty service. And so the warning of the false teacher, he is like a well that does not have water. He is drawing from a place that is not his own. He has given you something that is not of God. Because in John chapter number 7, here's what Jesus says. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So as the Holy Spirit moves into our life, we have something to draw from. And that's the difference in a believer and a non-believer. We look the same on the outside, don't we? We dress the same. Our clothes are the same. But it's the inside that is different. And so the believer has a well through the grace of Jesus Christ to draw from, where the unbeliever is drawing from all their own strength. And the false teacher does the same. the false teacher draws from a well that is empty. It is empty of the grace of God. It is empty of the forgiveness that he offers. But he looks good on the outside. There's a second example in verse number 17, and that is of the clouds that are moved by the storm. Have you ever looked in the clouds? Maybe the indication has been the thunder that you heard or the lightning that you've seen, and then you've seen the clouds begin to roll in, and you think in your mind, we're going to get rain. We're about to get rain. I grew up with a grandfather that had a farm and that depended on the rain, because that rain watered that farm week in and week out. And there were times we prayed for rain to water the garden. There were times we depended on it, but there were also times we looked at the sky and the clouds were telling us it was going to rain. And then the wind moved the storm on by. Just as the clouds that don't produce a storm or don't produce the rain that is needed, these false teachers are the same way. It looks like they're going to give us what we need. It feels like they're going to give us what we need, but they don't give it to us. They're operating out of that emptiness as well. The third thing of emptiness, look at the end of verse number 17. It says, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. The third example of emptiness is darkness. When we think about darkness, it should be the teacher or the preacher's job for people to experience and understand and know the light that Jesus Christ offers and can bring into any life. That is our desire, that people see the light of Christ. We are told from kids not to hide the light under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. And yet what Peter says here is there is a darkness, and darkness throughout your Bible represents the absence of light and the emptiness that darkness has. It is an emptiness of Jesus. And so here's what Peter is saying. An empty teacher has a heart, an empty heart of Jesus, and has an empty soul, and is talking about empty things. And ultimately, they will go to an empty place, which is hell. Hell is so bad, not because we deem it hot, not because we deem it bad or fiery, not because we deem it evil. Hell is bad because it is the emptiness of Christ. Christ is not there. And so it should be the desire of every believer in this room. Not that you don't want to go. Don't get saved because you don't want to go to hell. Get saved because you want Christ to live in your life and you want to live your life for him. Get saved because he has forgiven your sin. Get saved because he loved you. Get saved in order to live for him. Don't get saved out of the well of, I just don't want to go there. An emptiness. And even today, in a room full of people, we battle emptiness, because emptiness is on the inside of every heart. We have a desire to fill. We have a desire for God, and God wants to fill that spot in your life. And so today, if you're sitting here in a room full of people and you have that empty feeling in your heart, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Look at verses 18 and 19. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. The second point today, when we understand a false-hearted teacher, is there is an error in their leading. Peter's words are this: just because they talk it or they speak it doesn't mean they walk it. And here is the warning from the outside looking in. It's amazing how the Lord works. The Lord cleans from the inside out. Human beings clean from the outside in. So we get ready and we think because we shower and we're clean, hey, we're good to go. No. You can be clean on the outside. You can be dressed to the T and still be empty. And so what Peter is saying is these false teachers, just because they use the long words and the fancy words and the eloquent speech, just because they talk religion doesn't mean they believe it. They speak it, but their heart does not belong to Christ. They do not believe it. And so in that warning is this: just because somebody uses fancy words doesn't necessarily mean they believe what they're talking about. But the second part of that warning is this: in leading, they pursue and they target new believers in order that they can lead them and draw them under their false teaching and show them what it means. And it leads to lust. Look at verse number 18 again. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Do you see that? Their target is not for people to come to Jesus as Savior. Their target is to get people to follow them and their beliefs. And the lust of the flesh is then added into that. And so the freedom that is offered is kind of like this: you come and you follow me and you believe and you follow and you sit under a false teaching, and they give you the freedom. Yes, yes, you can do whatever you want because you have come and because you have done this and because you seek this. And so today, be careful of the freedom. Everybody with me? Be careful of the freedom, and I'm going to go to that in just a second. We're not free to do whatever we want once we get saved. Listen to me, we're not. When you get saved, Jesus Christ comes into your heart. The Holy Spirit lives here, and then that is the well that you draw from. And the warning here is this: these false teachers were erring by leading the people under their leadership, under their direction, not speaking about Jesus, and then giving them the freedom to do whatever they want, the freedom to go back to the old lifestyle and the sin in which they came from. Yes, you have the freedom to do all of that. And so there was an error in their leading. They often targeted new believers in order to get them to follow them. Many of us are familiar with cults in our day. And we sit back and we watch the news after a cult gets invaded and found out. And we sit there and say, what were them people thinking? A cult is a prime example of a false teacher or leader brainwashing somebody into believing and then living their lives in lust and in sin and in the way they want to under the religious stamp. And so the warning here is this: be careful what you're listening to and who is leading, because there is error of the false teacher in their leading. Yes, it starts with their enticing words, and then it moves to their desires, and then it seeks those who will listen and follow. And then next thing you know, there is a cult that is built, that is stamped religious, that is way off track. Be careful. Just because it stamps itself Christian doesn't mean it belongs to Christ. Beware of freedom that offers this: that you don't have to change, that you don't have to quit. You can continue on as you are. The freedom to sin is what I call that, not the freedom from sin. And so these are all drawing off of empty wells. And so today I look at a bunch of people and guess what? Yes, we are sinners. But the difference is because Christ lives in my heart, I draw from that well. And when sin comes my direction, I know that I cannot do that. Does that make sense? If your heart does not have Christ, you see that sin and you say, okay, I can go and do whatever I want to. That's the danger. That's the danger of the false teacher. And so beware. There's a third warning. Look at verses 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. I'm going to just tell you right off the get-go, verse number 21 is a verse that people use that you can lose your salvation. That is one of the verses that they argue that you can lose your salvation. I'm here to tell you by the word of God and the authority on it that once you belong to Christ, you will not leave the hand of God, okay? You cannot lose your salvation, but here's the warning. There are many people that come from this idea from a false heart and a false teacher, and they truly do not surrender to Christ as Lord, and so they are not saved. And so you battle that gamut. It's not my job to judge you if you're saved or not. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. That's between you and God. But here's what I want to encourage you. If you are walking that line and you haven't changed, you better watch yourself. You're walking very dangerous territory because the Spirit of God that dwells in your heart should change you. The third point is there is an entanglement. And that word is used here in the scripture. Have you ever seen a spider's web? More directly, an insect that has gotten into a spider's web? As that insect hits it, and I hope every stink bug around here gets in a spider's web. As that insect hits that spider's web, it begins to move, and the more it moves, the more it becomes entangled. And so the harder it fights and the more it tries, the deeper it gets entangled. And Peter says these false-hearted teachers tried to do the right thing. They tried to escape a world that was polluted. And they came, listen to me, church, they came to know mentally about Jesus. They knew mentally about Jesus. They heard about him and they came to know him that way. And yet they are entangled and they are overcome by the desire and the corruption and the lust of the flesh and the desire for prosperity and wealth. And all of this has once again entangled them. I want you to know that as we are standing here today, and I talked to Nathan about this, it's so easy for me to stand here in a pulpit and look at another man and say, that's a false teacher, and identify him in a very, 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 very public way. And I'm not going to do that because every person is made in the image of God and deserves grace. But here's what I want to say. Some of our TV channels and some of our books need to change. Because there are some people on there that we need not to be listening to, that will lead us down a wrong direction, that are entangled in their own ways, and they become corrupted in their own ways. And so I want to caution you, when you come and you listen to anyone, me being the first, when you listen with that heart. You listen for Christ. You listen for the blood of Jesus. There were some churches that intentionally left out the blood of Jesus in their Easter messages, not to offend anyone. This is false teaching because the blood of Jesus paid my sin. Be careful. Be careful what you are listening to on podcasts, on YouTube, on the TV, on the radio. Be very careful because once it goes in and once you begin to put faith in that, you are deterred away from the faith in Christ. His blood, his work, his life is what sets us free. And so be careful when you hear that. When we talk about the desire for sin, I spoke to this a minute ago. The entanglement of sin is the desire to stay there. For the Christian, we should not desire to stay there. We recognize it. We know what it is. We know what it looks like. We've been there before, and we do not go back. The child of God needs to be warned and needs to be weary about the entanglement that sin offers and that false teaching offers. As you have seen, these false teachers have made an intellectual decision. They know who Jesus is. They have heard and they understand, but that decision never reached the heart of these teachers. And so verse number 21, it says this, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them." So here's what Peter says. These men knew it. These teachers knew it. And they turned away from Jesus. And I want to offer this thought. Week in and week out of the church and the Western culture in the United States of America, people hear it and they understand it and they process it, but it never makes it to the heart. And if it doesn't make it to the heart, these are hard words. You are not truly saved. That's what the Bible teaches. The false teachers were able to turn away because they were not truly saved. And so they turned away from what they knew was right intellectually. They knew the way. They knew the truth. They knew the life. And they said, "I don't want any part of it yet." And I'm afraid in our churches all across this country, many people sit in the pews and do the same exact thing. The warning of entanglement. Peter does a great job. And he speaks to us as sheep that hear a voice. What is the sheep that hears the voice of God? Here's what John writes in John chapter 10. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Do you see that? That's the difference. That's the difference. Sin offers entanglement and entrapment. Jesus sets us free, but then asks us to follow by faith Him day in and day out for the rest of our lives. Surrender our life to Him. There's one more warning about the false teacher. It's a very vivid picture in verse number 22. "But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Their fourth point is this: there is an entrance to filth. But here is the warning that we have been talking about through this sermon. You think about a pig, and I had the joys of raising pig. There's some families in here that raise pigs. I'm not going to tell you why they raise them, but they raise them, okay? But as you raise a pig, you could take that pig out of the hog lot, and you could take it, and you can take a water hose, and you can clean that pig up, and you can show that pig, and as much as you clean it up, and you can brush that pig, you could take that pig, and you could turn it back loose, and guess where the pig is going? It's going right back to the mud hole. Now, partly because pigs do not sweat. Some of you may not know this. Pigs do not sweat, okay? So they need the water and the mud to cool them off. If not, they will cook. They will cook. But here's the truth that Peter's trying to say. The pig, because of its nature, goes back to the hog lot. Because of the nature that is in him. You can clean him up on the outside, but it desires the muck and the mire. And just as that dog that we all love, we all have them, that dog gets sick and it regurgitates its food. And this is not a pretty picture, but if you give that dog enough time, it's going back to that pile of food and it will eat it again. Now you may say, "That's disgusting. Ho, 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 ho." Let's look at ourselves. Let's look at ourselves right now. It's easy to label the pig filthy and the dog filthy. But if we who desire Jesus Christ are not clean on the inside, we're going to go back to our nature, and that is sin. It is a battle. It is an everyday battle for the child of God. But because Christ lives in our heart, we draw from that well. We are saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And because of that gift, I have a well that I'm able to draw from that is not above or better than anybody else. It's of God. And so I don't sit here better than anybody this morning. I just sit here knowing that I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And every day that you come to church and every day that you live, I want you to have the same assurance that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you belong to Him, and that you will live for Him. It's so easy to look at the pig or the dog or the false teacher. But what about the false Christian that looks good on the outside, but inside they are empty and they are dirty and they are running back to that which we call filthy. Sin in the eyes of God is filthy and punishable by death. That has not changed. Praise be to God for Jesus. I don't want you to doubt your salvation today, but here's what I want you to hear. One prayer can save you if it's prayed in the correct way. If it's prayed from the heart, one prayer can change your life. I remember praying that prayer at 15 years old. Jesus changed my life. The prayer didn't. Jesus changed my life because I asked Him to come in to an old, wretched, dirty, filthy sinner and live and begin the work from the inside out. So today, as we approach a moment of invitation, that's my prayer for you. Don't shake your finger at the pig. Don't shake your finger at the dog. Look at yourself. And today, as you sit here and you're hearing the sound of my voice, this is the voice of the Holy Spirit, of God Almighty, just saying, are you sure you belong to me? Make sure, make certain your salvation. And Christian, if you know you're saved, then it's our job to be watchful of those that teach and lead. It's our job to step up and be those godly leaders. That way we don't have to entrust that to somebody else. But if you are here today and you are battling that battle with sin, with a dirty heart, here's the promise of God. If you come to Him by faith saying this, Lord, I'm just a sinful man or woman. I recognize that sin separates me from a holy God. I understand that that payment for sin is death. And you took my death on the old rugged cross. You took my place. You took my sin. And you went to that cross in order to give me life and life eternal. Don't get saved to avoid hell, and don't get saved to go to heaven. Get saved that Jesus may be glorified through your life. And because you view Him as Savior, you will live for Him all the days of your life. Today, these are hard words, but I think we need to hear it. And I'm grateful that I just can't skip over Scripture. I wouldn't have skipped over this anyway. The warning of the false-hearted teacher. The warning of the false-hearted believer. Today you have heard them both. And I pray in this moment of invitation, we come before a holy God, asking Him to search our hearts and search our minds. We make sure of our salvation. Make sure today, this is not me twisting your arm, today, if you know that you are in a place that is void and empty of Jesus Christ, your invitation is this: please come. Come today. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank You for this day and this time together in Your Word. And God, I pray, Lord, today that as we consider Your holy Word, it calls every one of us, Lord, to bow before You and to look at our own hearts before You. God, today, for the believers that are in the room. I pray for my brothers and sisters. Maybe they're having a hard time understanding. Maybe they're searching for the right group or the right leader. Maybe they're looking for something. Lord, I pray, Lord, they will start with you. And from there that you will lead them and that you will instruct them. Lord, that you will allow us to change the channel if we need to. Lord, we're not here to have our ears tickled. We're here for our hearts to be burdened. What it means to live for Jesus. What it means to be saved. What it means to be the Christian in the world is that we are different. Not because we're better, but because Jesus lives in our heart. Today, if somebody is in this room or somebody is watching live stream, Lord, today, that invitation is God's invitation to come. To come. And in doing so, understand that sin has a price. And Christ paid that price on the cross. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in these moments of invitation. And as we look at sin and we repent of that and we walk away, God, help us as believers and as a church to become more like you. Lead us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.